screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, D-Lo. We your number one spot. We your number one spot for some sports, huh? Got the city going crazy when we work, huh? We top two, but we ain't two, we in first, huh? And when you need the real, we is who you search, huh? D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We your number one spot.
Hey, yo, what's up, baby? One time for the 49ers win, one time for Raider Nation. And one time for the Sacramento Kings Media Day. Hey, welcome in here to the Monday, September 30th edition of D'Lo and KC. I'm Damian Boiling.
The ultimate needle mover in God Mode himself.
He's Kenny Caraway.
Acknowledge me.
KC will be with us later on in the day. He's out at the Golden One Center right now with James and Leezy and the rest of the media crew. By the way, shout out to all the cheesy-ass media people, including James, who are going to post that stupid-ass back at the office today. Like, okay, dude. No, we get it. They're going to take a picture of the court. So happy home away from home. You guys are all cheesy.
Did we get a first day of school?
Stop it. Yeah, there'll be at least one first day of school. James already posted the back. Let's see what people posted. Matt George, I'm guessing Matt George hits us with a back at the office today type of message. I don't think JA would do that. Sean definitely wouldn't do that. Sean would have no fun whatsoever. There's KC right up there with Monty McNair. Let's see, what did Matt tweet? Let's see, Monty's talking. Oh, he just hit us with a we back. That's all. All right. All right. We'll bring you all of this stuff. We'll bring you Monty McNair, Mike Brown, anything that we can bring you. We're absolutely going to do that. I am kind of, I love my boy. Let me just take a peek to make sure that like this just didn't freeze. Yeah. Shout out to our boy. Who he had a tough night last night because I had said this on the insiders. KC, myself, the Queen Bee, his significant other, Kimberly and her beautiful sister, we all went to Usher in Oakland. So your boy was outside. Your boy was up well past his bedtime. But I got a commitment to Greg and MAP training, so that alarm went off at 4:30. We got a show to do. We got business to attend to. But shout out to my man, KC, because it was touch and go. It was touch and go because Usher, we had great seats. Shout out to DJ Complex and the label and everybody. Usher walked right in front of us and reached out and grabbed Jasmine's hand. And you could see Jasmine thinking about her whole life for that split second. And I could say it almost all ended for Kenny last night.
Usher better relax.
No, I think it's KC better relax because he almost lost it all. It was almost over. And shout out to my boy today. Again, my man had a tough night, almost lost everything. He's out there just taking still shots of Monty McNair instead of the video. So
his first day on the job. He's doing his best.
I guess he's never been in these scrums before, so there's not a lot that the still shot can do for D'Lo and KC. But shout out to my guy.
Can you imagine KC trying to get his first question in the media scrum?
Oh,
yeah, hey,
man.
My money. Yeah. Shout out, KC.
Hit him with the Jake Gaydon. Get fired up. Fired up. KC out there. I think this is his first media day, actually. Yeah, I think this is his first media day. Good stuff for KC, James out there. Again, we'll bring you everything that's going on with Media Day as soon as we have the ability to bring it to you. We most definitely will. I think I know KC is coming back. We've got a whole other show to do. I think he's going to be back here for the second part of the show. Media scheduled today. Media Day scheduled to end around like 2 o'clock, I think. So I expect both him and James to either be back here in the studio or James to be back at the house. And be with us. So a really busy day. Started with sadness. Really sad to hear about the passing of Dikembe Mutombo. Had the opportunity to cross paths with him a couple of times at different All-Star games. A very, very genuine human being. That smile wasn't a work. He was just a genuinely nice man. He's meant so much to the game of basketball, so much to the game of basketball in Africa. Just a really tremendous individual, part of so many iconic images. Not just the no, but that celebration on the ground with the ball in his hand. He'll be a part of NBA history forever. So again, really, really saddened to see the passing of Dikembe Mutombo today. I can't believe I'm going to be the one to say this, but I'm kind of looking forward to Casey getting here so I could ask him about a particular president of baseball operations that lost his job today. That's not going to be a big focal point of today's show, but my man likes to get his jokes off, and I can't wait for him to get some of those jokes off with Farhan being out. The San Francisco Giants, like I think an offseason after they signed him to a contract extension. So those are all things that we'll get to, or at least we'll try to get to throughout the day. Again, I believe Casey will be back. I believe James Hamm will be back. But if they're not, we're riding anyways because the 49ers and Raiders get a victory. We'll start with the San Francisco 49ers, a 30-13 win over New England. I say this, I was telling Kyle and Jesse this a second ago. The Jets were overly praised for beating the New England Patriots. All of the stupidity with Aaron Rodgers is back. He's in MVP form. Look at these New York Jets was so stupid. The Jets aren't a good football team. They showed that yesterday. And the New England Patriots are not a good football team, man. And so if they are a get-right team, salute. Hopefully the San Francisco 49ers got some things right. And I do think you could build momentum off of games like that. Whether that other team is good or not, whether that other team has the ability to protect the quarterback or not, whether that team has the ability to stop the rush or not, it doesn't matter. If you're able to get going against them, maybe that's something that you can carry over into the next week. And that's what you hope for in games like this, because Kyle was 100% right a moment ago. It wasn't perfect. I mean, most NFL games aren't. Every once in a while, you'll get what you feel like is a perfect performance, and we'll get later when we talk about that Washington football team. But the schedule is going to shift here a little bit for the San Francisco 49ers. We had some prove-it games that we'll talk about throughout the day. Arizona didn't look good yesterday, but they are a divisional opponent. You've got Seattle. You got Kansas City coming up. You got Dallas. I know Kansas City is odd. Kansas City's 4-0. They're the reigning, defending champions. But they don't necessarily look great. And maybe that doesn't matter. Style points don't matter. They're 4-0. That's really all that matters. But they don't look like the juggernaut that they've looked like in years past. And so I don't know exactly what the San Francisco 49ers will be facing in Week 7 against the Kansas City Chiefs. I know they'll be facing Patrick Mahomes, and I know that they'll be facing Andy Reid. That's a tall task. You got the Dallas Cowboys after that. That's a division rival. At some point, the Cowboys got to have some damn pride when it comes to playing the San Francisco 49ers. So with all of that said, with the divisional matchups ahead, potentially the tougher of opponents, you got the bye week after those four games right there. You hope that whatever this New England Patriots game was could be used to build momentum headed into the next 4 weeks. Hell, forget the next 4 weeks. Headed into next week against the Arizona Cardinals. And I think there's a lot of good to take away from this. One, Brock Purdy continues to be really good. The interception he threw that into double coverage. That was that's kind of an uncharacteristic mistake by Brock. That's not something you really have to worry about with Brock Purdy. But overall, he continues to play really, really well. Goes so far as to say, bro, continues to be elite. Like, he continues to play like an elite quarterback. We're going to talk more about him here in just a couple of minutes. We talk about the incredible season that Jordan Mason had. And Jordan Mason, for a very, very, very brief moment, was leading the league in rushing. Then Derrick Henry took the field, and that's just not the case anymore. But Jordan Mason has had a spectacular start to this season. Jordan Mason has had a just incredible start to filling in for Christian McCaffrey. And the fact that we're starting to see him catch passes a little bit more regularly out of the backfield, that's a positive. The fact that we saw, you know, a big play from Brandon Ayuk. No, we didn't get the amount of targets you'd want for Brandon Ayuk. If you're a bit of a detractor at this point, which I completely understand, like you talk all offseason about wanting the smoke. Well, you're going to get the smoke now. Two receptions, 48 yards. One of those, though, was for 38 yards. Tough part about that. That was in like the first quarter. So you felt like in a moment like, hey, maybe it was the second. But you felt like in that moment like, hey, okay, here we go. B.A. and Brock, let's get at it. You had a 50-some-odd yard completion for Debo. Jawan Jennings, another big game. And this wasn't a game that was flooded by a dominant receiver like it was last week. Like Jawan was dominant last week. That wasn't the case. Jawan got some touches. Debo got some touches. Brandon Ayuk got some touches. But the positive, they all have big plays. All three of those guys have big plays. And perhaps, most importantly, we saw something on the defensive side of the football. Perhaps, most importantly, we saw something from someone on the defensive side of the ball that we really, really needed to see it from. Kyle Madsen was calling all last week to get a game from Nick Bosa, and 97 delivered. Clearly, 97 has been over at trainwithmap.fit/ESPN1320. 97 might have even gotten a shipment of the brand new creatine gummies, which are available on the website right now for everyone. I've been taking them now for a couple of weeks. I told you, just because I was out in Oakland last night didn't mean I was not going to wake up to that 4 o'clock alarm and get that work in the gym. And I most definitely did. And it starts with those creatine gummies. Again, they're available over at trainwithmap.fit/ESPN1320. It's your one-stop shop for better fitness and better health. The link to Maptrition for the creatine gummies, for the strength enhancers, the fat burners, the craving crushers, all of the stuff that I take and all of the stuff that I don't take. It's right there at trainwithmap.fit/ESPN1320. We're going to come back. We're going to talk a lot more about the 49ers victory against the New England Patriots yesterday. We'll come back and we'll talk more, or not more. We'll start to talk about the Raiders victory as well. Wasn't pretty, but wins don't have to be pretty. They just have to be wins, baby. We're happy that you're here with us, whether it's on the Odyssey app, whether you're listening through your smart speaker, if you're listening on 98.5 FM HD2, or you're just rocking with us on 1320 AM or Twitch or YouTube. Shout out to the Twitter crowd. Welcome back. We'll be back with more here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. We'll bring that conversation back that we were having during the commercial break when KC gets here, because I don't know where KC is with that doc, but I finished Mr. McMahon. Jesse turned it off. He said he was done with it. I watched all six episodes. I thought it was terrible. I thought it was an absolute waste of time. I think the Ringer or Bill Simmons or whoever is involved with that should be embarrassed. It was just an absolute waste. But Kenny hadn't seen any of it yet, so I'll be curious when he returns from Media Day. What he has to say about that. We'll be pulling clips from Media Day all day long. We'll start. We'll start with our man or our guy Sean Cunningham right there, and he talked to Monty McNair as everyone did. Here's Monty McNair Media Day today.
We're going to have to be able to make a play, have to be able to sacrifice at times where somebody else has the ball, move without the ball, get offensive rebounds, anything you can do to affect that end of the floor. And then we all know Mike's going to make sure the five guys are in sync and unison on the other end.
You entered the summer. Do you feel like at that time that this is ultimately the type of team you were going to be putting together, or does this kind of come out of nowhere for you guys?
I think we're always canvassing to see how we can get better. And I think one thing is, if we look at the West, I mean, I don't know, there's 12, 13 teams that are going to expect to be in the playoffs. And I'm pretty sure that we still only get 8 spots. So we knew we had to figure out a way to get better. That can come externally, which DeMar and, you know, Jordan McLaughlin, Jay McDaniels, we got Devin Carter, obviously, in the draft. You know, those guys are going to help. But also internally, and guys continuing to grow. We have a relatively young team or in their prime. So we hope these guys continue to have better and better seasons. And then, you know, we got a great coaching staff who we're able to lock up. And, you know, their job's going to be to get us back to the playoffs.
Money.
Get us back to the playoffs, man. Those are the rules. those are the rules, my brother. So our first little glimpse into media day right there. We'll continue to check in with everybody that's there. KC's there. He's taking still shots, though. But he's out there with Leezy. James Hamm is there as well. You know, James's audio is never good. Sean's is always better. So we'll
one way or another, there's going to be a basketball bouncing in James's audio.
Yep.
Even if there's no basketball scene in the gym. Yep. Somehow.
Somehow it'll just be happening on James's video and James's video alone, and it'll appear that the basketball is hitting the hardwood right under James's camera. It's amazing.
You imagine we just learned James is just bouncing a basketball every time he's answering a question or asking one.
Johnny G saying, Leezy fell asleep. Well, that's not fair. It's not impossible, as we've all seen it, but I don't think that's the case. I don't think my man Leezy fell asleep. But that is a funny bit. Leezy falling asleep is my absolute new favorite bit. So we'll bring more to you from Kings Media Day all throughout the day. We were talking about the San Francisco 49ers win against the New England Patriots yesterday and how some wins, they don't have to be pretty. They don't have to be perfect. They just need to be W's. And that's exactly what the 49ers got yesterday. And I thought there were a lot of positives in that game. We outlined a couple of them on the offensive end, particularly Brock Purdy's continued stellar play. As uncharacteristic as I think that interception was, Brock has the highest quarterback rating through 25 games since the 1970 merger. That's an amazing statistic because Brock Purdy has a quarterback rating of 112.6. Patrick Mahomes' quarterback rating is 112.5. That's amazing that Brock Purdy gets that nod by that slim margin. And once you get past those two, no one's even close. And while I think a lot of the hate on Brock has kind of dissipated a little bit, I'm not really sure that he's getting the proper praise. Sam Darnold's been terrific, but I don't think he's been better than Brock Purdy. And maybe, sometimes when it's a surprise, or maybe it's because you don't think the roster is talented. Like, I'm not really sure. But Brock has been incredible. And that was one of the positives to come out of last night's game, is his play continues to be really good. If there were concerns about what he was going to look like, if there was the old, well, they got film on the kid now concern, like, at some point there's got to stop. It's got to start being gone, right? Like, that can't be a conversation anymore. He played well in a game that none of his primary weapons were there. Now you get graded, whether right or wrong, on wins and losses. And when I mean right or wrong, I mean as a quarterback stat. Whether you think that's right or you think that's wrong, that's how you get graded. And they lost that game when there was no Deebo, when there was no George Kittle, when there's no Christian McCaffrey. Deebo comes back. George Kittle comes back. 49ers win. But he's been able to find other weapons. Again, you look at that game yesterday. There wasn't a Juwan Jennings versus the Rams type of performance. You saw every guy kind of had a big play. Every guy had a signature moment. Juwan had a moment. Brandon Ayuk had his moment. Deebo had his moment. We saw Jordan Mason on the ground have a couple of moments. A lot of really, really positive things on the offensive side of the ball for the San Francisco 49ers. But as my man Kyle Mattson was laying out on the insiders earlier, as we were talking about there on the handoff, the fact that they kind of went down the field pretty easily on the first two drives of the game and just walked away with 3 points each, walked away with a total of 6 points, it did leave a bit of an uneasy feeling. And to be clear, we said this last week, I didn't think the New England Patriots were good enough. There is no Sean McVay kind of X factor there. There's no divisional round X factor there. There's a football team that's just not good enough. And you watched them play last night. Is it any wonder, if you watched them play yesterday, excuse me, is there any wonder why Drake May's not playing? I said that I don't know if Drake May is good enough to be the quarterback for the New England Patriots, but I know he's not going to succeed on this New England Patriots team. Jacoby Brissett is a vet, man. He was getting roughed up there. He had 17 pressures yesterday, the San Francisco 49ers did. The Patriots are the worst in the league when it comes to protecting their quarterback. I wouldn't put Drake May, even if I was unsure, like if I was Gerard Mayo or the New England Patriots general manager, I'm trying to figure out whether Drake May is a good quarterback or not. I ain't finding out against. I ain't finding out with this offensive line.
Drake May shouldn't see the field at all this season.
He absolutely shouldn't. They should sign another quarterback in case something happens to Jacoby Brissett. And it's set. I hate to say that. It's got to be a matter of time, right? It's a matter of time before something happens to Jacoby Brissett.
I think Kyle Madsen tweeted it earlier that 39 dropbacks, 32 of them were pressured, I think.
Wow.
19 were pressured, excuse me.
Wow. That is crazy. It's also very funny working at a radio station where, like, there's just rock bands walking around the lobby. Like, there's just, like, 8-person rock bands just standing right in front of me watching me like I'm a... like a zoo animal or something.
Yeah, no, it's like, a concert every week now, it feels like.
No, it really is. And it's like Alt is getting a big push here with the concerts. But this crew, I should invite them in. I don't know who they are, but they seem to be fascinated with what I do.
What are you guys' thoughts on the 49ers win over the Patriots?
And just taking a quick glance at them, I'm not sure that they watch football. I don't know. That's a bit stereotypical on my part, but they look like... there's no question if this group out here goes to eat, there no one goes, hey, what do you guys do for a living? They go, hey, who's the rock group that just walked in here? Now they're taking the stage, and only their people are left to look at me wondering what it is I'm doing in here talking nonstop by
myself.
It's
a packed house, though.
It is. Well, imagine that. We had a limit of people that we could invite.
Yeah.
Boy. Man.
You think they gave us that limit thinking, yeah, there's no way.
Just oh, 100%.
Yeah, 100%. 40 people or whatever.
Yeah, 100%. Because they were hanging from the rafters when the Taylor Swift guy was here.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Standing room only. Oh, you guys can have... Let's cut the guest list off. What do you guys have, 40? Well, let's cut the guest list off now.
So you can have, 40 of your friends.
Okay. Thanks, guys. In any event, a lot of positives to take away from the San Francisco 49ers offense. Some negatives. Now, this is where I feel like things really kicked up for the 49ers. We talked about where, you know, you have two really good drives, and you go back to the game against the Rams. The 49ers had a dominant opening possession. Or, excuse me, the 49ers had a dominant opening quarter. Just controlled the clock. I think their first two drives amounted to a nearly 12-minute time of possession to it was like 12 minutes to like 90 seconds. Like they were dominant, they were controlling, they were long sustained drives, and they both resulted in 7. So you take that quick 14-0 lead and you see that the way the 49ers are moving the ball early, and you think, All right, you might be able to put this away. They get the ball in good position on their second possession. You think, all right, a couple of plays here. Open this thing up. We got 3 the first time. You get 7 here. You get 10-0 against a bad New England team. You got to feel pretty good. And they weren't able to. So they walked away with 6. And you're thinking like, all right, you know, this is a game where Patriots get a big play. All of a sudden, it's 7-6 or whatever. And then Fred Warner does what he does. Fred Warner has had multiple plays this year. Fred Warner has had multiple plays this season where what he does feels like it changes the game. He had a play against Minnesota where it felt like it was an interception, where it felt like that was a game changer. Spoiler alert, it wasn't in the long run. It wasn't. But it was a hell of a play. And he had another one of those, and this one felt different because the 49ers are up 6-0. Fred Warner gets that 45-yard pick 6. And now you're thinking, okay, you're up 13-0. You're up 13-0 against a team that struggles to protect their quarterback. You're up 13-0 against a team that just flat out can't protect their quarterback. So the chances of a deep ball are slim, almost slim to none. And a team that struggles to produce points, a team that struggles to produce offense. So you go up 13-0 on them, and you get and if you're the 49ers in that moment, you feel great. And then their defense continues to put the pressure on Jacoby Brissett before the half. George Kittle gets that 12-yard touchdown pass from Brock, and all of a sudden it's 20-0, and you're feeling great going into the half at 20-3. A lot of, you know, you want film, I imagine, as a coach, you want film that you could draw back to. You want film on the positive and the negative that you can draw back to. And I think there's a lot of that in this game against the New England Patriots. Nick Bosa was terrific. Nick Bosa got his first, and I think only, sack late in the game. Fourth quarter. The game was pretty much over when Nick got it, but it kind of felt like important for him to have, because he was really, really good in that game. Like, they knew Nick Bosa was out there. I'll stop a little short, just a little, of calling it the dominant performance that Kyle Madsen demanded of him last week. But it was pretty damn close. It just didn't come with the pick six that Fred Warner had. It didn't come with, four or five sacks in the game. But it came with a ton of pressure. And it came with, plays where Jacoby Brissett is, dumping the ball off right before his knee hits. Gaining a yard, so it's actually not a sack. It's just a short gain. Nick Bosa was all over that game. And those are the things that you look. Can this provide a catalyst in the next week? Because, again, I'll say it if you're just tuning in. It's the Patriots. I refuse to give the Jets credit for that Patriots win last week. Other than, it's a win. You beat the team that's in front of you. It's what you're supposed to do. But having watched full games from the New England Patriots, having watched full games from the Carolina Panthers, I really think the Patriots are the worst team in the league. I don't know that either one of them have a redeeming quality. We saw Carolina put up, some points in a loss yesterday. But New England it's a mess. The one thing I'll say about the Patriots, though, it does feel like maybe the signs of a decent defense are right there. It feels like, all right, you might have some players on that side of the ball that could put something together for you. You might have something there that you could build on and work with. It's just the problem is they're so far away. They need so many more pieces, particularly on the offensive side of the ball. What they do on the defensive end doesn't matter. And the defense isn't so good that you could survive only off that. Obviously, we saw what the San Francisco 49ers did to them. Now, obviously, the 49ers, too, are one of the better offenses in the entire league. But you go back a week prior and you see what the Jets did. The Jets are not a good offense. The Jets aren't even a good freaking football team. And I'm going to save it. I'm going to save it, but I told y'all it's a week-to-week league. But I said it then, and my energy will not change until this season is over. Somebody going to be wrong. All of them that continue to ride the jock of Aaron Rodgers, or me. Feel pretty good about where I'm at right now. But I'm not going to dance on Aaron Rodgers' grave yet. Just like I wasn't going to celebrate him for beating the Patriots. Went out, did what you had to do. All right, how do you respond? Well, the Jets didn't. All right, 49ers went out there, beat the Patriots. It's what you're supposed to do. Now, how are you going to respond? How are you going to take... I think, too, especially for a guy like Juwan Jennings, You know, it's going to be difficult for him, which he acknowledged, it's going to be difficult for him to take as many positives away as he'd like from that Rams game because they lost. But if he can allow himself the individual moment, like, he was phenomenal. And now you've got two straight games where you're the team's leading receiver. And Debo out there on the field this time. It's not without Debo. Hell, it wasn't even without George Kittle. They were both out there on the field, and you still were the team's leading receiver. Now you've got a couple of game sample size. Now the more that Juwan Jennings is able to build these types of games up, the more he can get away from having a career moment against the Los Angeles Rams in the game that they lost. The more that moment can be a launching point for what he could be as a receiver to this San Francisco 49ers football team. And I feel like what we saw yesterday is that's what you want more of. If you can walk away with a Juwan Jennings, a Debo Samuel, a Brandon Ayuk, a George Kittle, if you can walk away with one of those guys having 170 yards in a game, 10 targets, 9 receptions, 11 targets, 10 receptions, whatever, salute. It's a good look. But when you got playmakers and you got weapons, the likes of Debo, I still think Brandon Ayuk is a playmaker. Still think he's a weapon. George Kittle's a playmaker. Well, you got those three guys. Now you throw Juwan Jennings in there. When you can leave games where Brock again is very, very good, 288 yards in this one, a touchdown and an interception. When you can walk away with a yard total like that, without the 170-yard receiver that Juwan Jennings was the week prior, I feel like that's a really good look for the 49ers. Even better so than what we saw last week, because you want all those guys to eat. Debo had his 53-yard play. Juwan Jennings had his, I think it was 45-yard play. Brandon Ayuk had that 38-yard catch early. George Kittle caught the touchdown. George Kittle was consistent, consistent, consistent. It was like 10 yards, 11 yards, 10 yards, the 12-yard touchdown. Everybody eats. That's one thing I think Brock Purdy is brilliant at. He'll get his guys the ball. It was a little tougher for him last week because there weren't a lot of guys to get the ball to. He had Ayuk out there. You know, obviously he missed one that was, you know, examined to death last week. But he found Juwan repeatedly. There's a lot of positive things to take away for the San Francisco 49ers in that one. I love Jordan Mason's second part of the game. I've been so curious as to, you know, what he's going to do for this football team that I keep these stats open. And, you know, man, I Jordan Mason's out there. Like, I see him, like, what's he doing right now? I think there was a point where he had like 11 carries. Maybe it was in the range of 40 to 44 yards, somewhere around there. It's like, okay, they continue with the workload. He'll be right around where he's been. Really consistent at what you want. Then he has that 25-yard gain. And then he continues to just be aggressive, aggressive, aggressive. And now all of a sudden, that yards per carry goes from 4.1 up to 5.1. That's where you start to hit elite territory. Again, for the briefest of minutes, Jordan Mason was leading the league in rushing. Unfortunately for him, the Ravens played that night, and Derrick Henry reminded everybody who the hell he is. What Derrick Henry did last night was ridiculous, by the way. What Derrick Henry continues to do is just ridiculous. The fact that he can move the way that he does, at his age, at his weight, at his strength, like, all of that is just crazy.
I think they said that was a 7th 200-yard rushing game, which is the most in NFL history.
Is Derrick Henry like, LeBron in the sense that the fact, like, LeBron is so, he's so big, he's so strong, but he's equally as fast. There's no one in the NBA like LeBron James. Absolutely nobody. And I'm not talking about, like, I'm not talking about his ridiculous statistics, what he could do at the age of 4. I'm not talking about any of that. I'm just talking about his pure
talking about speed, physical,
build,
and all that
and
stuff.
Stature. There's no one like him. Is that Derrick Henry?
Yeah, it might be Derrick Henry. Peterson used to be that, but...
Ah, that's a good... Well, Adrian Peterson wasn't as big as...
He wasn't as big, but he was physical enough, I feel like.
He was definitely
physical. He ran you over and all that.
Yeah, he was definitely physical. But Derrick Henry is special. And that's the company that Jordan Mason is in right now. He's in the company with Derrick Henry. And Derrick's a little bit different in the sense that Derrick Henry wants to invite contact. We had that Jordan Mason stat from, I think it was week one against the Jets where, you know, he rushed for like, you know, 100-something yards, 100-plus yards, and like 87, 90 of them, something like that, were before he was touched. Like, he picked up a massive chunk of those yards before any defender got close to him. Love what the 49ers did what I expected them to do. Plenty to build on. Fred Warner, that's one we'll have to watch that one a little bit. The fact that he was standing on the sideline and appeared ready to go, like they showed him running to the locker room. I actually thought, because I guess I missed the initial report, I thought he might have had a head injury. That's what was concerning me. I caught when they came back. And Fred was on the sidelines. He was in clearly wanting to get into the game. That they reported it was something about his ankle. But I was like, oh man, I hope this isn't like concussion stuff. But the fact that he looked like he was trying to get back in the game made me pretty confident. This is a guy who doesn't miss football games. Like he's been on the injury report 5 weeks in his entire career, and he's only missed a single game. Like, Fred Warner plays. Saw Trent Williams out there. Trent Williams was like, this is uncomfortable, but it wasn't a question of whether I was going to miss this game. I think that's a lot like Fred Warner, and we laid out the scenario of which we think happened. I do think there was Fred a little banged up. All right, this turnover. Able to get this down. Oh, okay, you know what? Why don't you chill, big fella? I think we got this one. You don't ever want to admit that. Kyle's not going to say that, nor should he. But in all likelihood, that's what he said. Hey, we got this, big fella. We're going to close this out for you. And they did. Nick Bosa did. The rest of that defense did. And that was a big-time performance from the San Francisco 49ers. And an equally big-time performance from the shorthanded Las Vegas Raiders. It wasn't pretty. It wasn't anything that even resembles pretty. But given the circumstances, you take the win and you keep it moving. The Raiders got the victory. We'll talk about that. We'll check in at Media Day. Mike Brown is speaking. We've got that coming up. It's D'Lo and KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. Shout out to the chatty house that rocks with us and can comment and, you know, be a part of the show. Even be sponsored. Shout out to Matthew's Mattress for bringing us the chatty house. We love y'all. Yes, indeed. Phone line's open for you as well. The Elk Grove Kia Talk Line, 916-909-1320. If you want to get in on the phone lines. Lots of football to talk about, and we'll continue to talk about it. Raider Nation, we ain't going to leave y'all out there, baby. Y'all got that win. We're going to talk about not pretty. Wasn't pretty. But like we said, it don't have to be. It does not have to be. It just needs to be a dub. Kevin Herter talking at media. This courtesy of our friend Sean Cunningham. We always like to go to Sean. One, because he's a friend of the show. Two, because his audio is 4,000 times better than James's. And his camera is in 4K. Here's Kevin Herter at Media Day today.
Go to somebody else.
How does everything feel, the shot, everything else, with the shoulder being the issue?
Feels good. It all does. Like I said, it's a lot of 1v0. You know, really been in the gym like a regular off season since early June. Just haven't been able to go pick up or go live against anybody. But everything else feels really good.
You talked about focusing on all of the aspects of basketball this off season, as opposed to just the offense that you played in last year. How much is being able to go 1v1, 1v none kind of helped that?
Yeah, I mean, just getting back to, you know, myself, obviously. You know, continuing to work on anything, that's kind of how we left it off. I think last time we all spoke is, you know, really taking this summer to continue to be a better basketball player as a whole. And I feel like I've done that. You know, I'm ready to obviously put it to the test against other guys, but spent a lot of time, hours in the gym, hours in the weight room, hours rehabbing. So I'm excited to get back and do the fun part.
Kevin, for as good of a shooter as you are, you seem to get maybe a lot more open looks defensively than a team could or should
Buddy
be.
Matt George,
because playing with guys like Fox and Domox. Now adding DeMar to that fold and how much attention he'll draw away from yourself and keep getting guys on the perimeter, does that make your eyes light up with the idea of how many looks you're going to get?
Yeah, it does. It does. Obviously, DeMar is a special offensive player, has been since he's been in the NBA. Unfortunately, I've had to play against him for 6 years now. So it'll be interesting to see how teams guard us. I don't know if I know the answer to that yet. You know, we'll figure that out. But there's a lot of answers teams are going to have for us on any given night. And whether let Fox go 1-on-1 or DeMar go 1-on-1 or let Domas go 1-on-1, it's in a lot of ways be pick your poison. And so, you know, I'm looking forward to more catch and shoot opportunities. You know, I feel like my time in SAG, a lot of it has been off the move and really working for a lot of the shots that I'm getting, with obviously the attention that Domas and Fox have always gotten. But there's some of those easier looks to catch and shoot, get more in transition, being in the right spot, and we're just going to have to play off those guys.
You shared before that Domas is one of the easiest guys in the league to play with because he'll always find you. What do you think about the two-man game between Domas and DeRozan and how those two can work together?
Yeah, I know they've worked on it a little bit this summer. Those guys spent some time in the gym together, and I think they're still continuing to figure that out. But Domas is an easy guy to play with. You know, he truly wants to pass first. You know, his being aggressive and going to score is something that is almost like a second option in his head. And sometimes we tell him to go get it, and go get a bucket. So I'm sure they'll figure it out.
What kind of test was this summer, knowing that, you know, well, the season was what it was, both collectively and for you individually? Was this one of the toughest experiences you've had in a summer gearing up for a season, knowing that you were limited in what you could do?
No, I mean, the summer was a lot easier than last season. So the summer, you know, I was able to get back and, you know, get in the gym with people I'm comfortable with. And the rehab wasn't fun. Obviously, anyone who knows that, it's 6 months of rehabbing the same thing. It gets a little tedious, and you know, the day in, day out of doing it every day gets tough. But it's been a long road to get back where I am. I feel good, and you're kind of ready to flip the page a little bit and get after
it. Kev, you're looking kind of swole. What's the summer strength program been like? How have you added, you know, a little weight, and how much might that help you to slide over and play a little more three if they need you?
Yeah, we'll see. You know, again, I think I'm ready to see how, you know, all the pieces for us fit together, how everything is put together in training camp. But you know, for everything else, it's been good. You rehab a shoulder, it's a lot of accessory lifts, a lot of shoulder work, triceps, biceps, everything that guys, you know, love to get in there and do. And so, a lot of band work, rehab, getting to do those types of things. But I played a lot of different positions, you know, throughout my career. My time here has been mostly at the two, but, you know, my time in Atlanta before that was, you know, a lot of different positions, and, you know, I think I've always been able to do that. That's for Mike and our coach staff to figure out.
Y'all catch that? Huh. Okay. I'm with Soren. For the record, Matthew's Mattress Chatty House, I was begging for a 10 pounds of muscle reference. We didn't get it. Shout out to J.A. for throwing that softball up there. He just didn't take a swing. Respect it. But did y'all catch that? Oh, they've talked. They've talked about him playing another position. Will Z heard it. Will Z heard that. Will Z said he's the backup three for sure. Johnny G says, oh, we caught it. Spencer said he's the three. Oh, that's interesting. I like it. Okay. Okay, remember he was introduced to us on that press release as Kings forward, Kevin Huerter. That was a hell of a final 15 seconds of that media scrum. Matter of fact, let's run that back one. Let's go back. He was talking about gaining muscle right here. Hold on. Let me see if I can find it. We'll go about right here.
Again, I think I'm ready to see how, you know, all the pieces for us fit together, how everything is put together in training camp. But you know, for everything else, it's been good. You rehab a shoulder. It's a lot of accessory lifts, a lot of shoulder work, triceps, biceps, everything that guys, you know, love to get in there and do. And so, yeah, a lot of band work, rehab, getting to do those types of things. But yeah, I played a lot of different positions, you know, throughout my career. Yeah, my time here has been mostly at the two, but you know, my time in Atlanta before that was, you know, a lot of different positions, and you know, I think I've always been able to do that. Again, well, that's for Mike and our coach staff to figure out.
All right. By the way, Kayvon's back. That's a Kayvon haircut right there. That's not Kevin. That is not a Kevin haircut. That's Kayvon. That boy back. He ready to cook at that forward position. All right. We'll see where that goes. I'll be curious to see if Mike is asked about that or if Mike is asked about. I mean, not that Mike's going to give us any answers. I think the toughest thing about Kevin and what may potentially be ahead for him is the fact that he can't go tomorrow. That's it. Like he's still, like, in terms of, you know, 5-on-5, he's not going to go tomorrow. He's going to be able to do a lot of stuff. It's not like he's going to be, you know, super, super far behind. But when it comes to kind of setting positions, when it comes to kind of messing around with different lineups, yeah, like he will be on the short end right there. That's tough. It's going to be a tough spot for him. We learned Trey Lyles is out for 3 weeks. I don't know what the hell went on at the end of what was it, Friday? Like I think we were on the, we must have been on KSFM because Casey and I were still together. Must have been Flashback Friday. It was like Trey Lyles is out 3 weeks. Jordan McLeod, what the hell is going on? That guy's just getting hurt before practice. Getting hurt during these workouts. So tomorrow's practice isn't going to look exactly like Mike Brown would want it to. Trey Lyles isn't going to be out there. Jordan's not going to be out there. Kevin Huerter's not going to be out there. Now, I'm sure Kevin Huerter's going to be getting some work in. I don't think that's the case with Jordan and Trey, though. But yeah, what a kind of, I mean, Jordan, I think, is interesting being out of the mix, so to speak, to start camp, because I feel like maybe he needed the time. We'll put it like that. Jordan McLaughlin kind of needed the time in there. Trey probably doesn't. You don't want Trey starting behind the, you know, kind of behind the eight ball again. Remember, he got hurt, you know, early in the season last year. Like you don't want Trey Lyles to be facing those circumstances again. But tomorrow's practice will be interesting with no 5-on-5 for Huerter, and perhaps Trey and Jordan not partaking in the practice at all. Oh, so that was a weird. Definitely a very weird Friday evening news dump that we got, you know, after all the fun that we had with Domantas Sabonis earlier in the day. But we'll continue to bring you sound and clips and all the relevant news from Media Day as we continue to get it. KC is there. James Hamm is there. And as soon as any of them give us something of significance, we're bringing it to you. If not, we'll just keep relying on our man, Sean Cunningham, to bring us the good sound, as he just did there with our guy, Kevin Herter, who seems to be hinting around playing at that three spot. Hey, shout out to Raider Nation. Shout out to the Las Vegas Raiders. They deserve a lot of credit for winning that game. I don't care how ugly it was. I don't care how bad they may have played. I don't care that they nearly coughed it up. But Deshaun Watson is the shell of a quarterback that he was prior and couldn't close the deal. Doesn't matter. Max Crosby wasn't out there. Davante Adams wasn't out there. And the Raiders found a way to win that game. That's big time. They deserve credit. It was a weird game. Browns went up 10-0, which I thought was gross. It's like, you got to be kidding. This team's terrible. Then the Raiders scored the next 20. And you're thinking, all right, this is what you do right here. This is, look, the Browns, I like to have fun when I'm right. But I was wrong about Cleveland. They suck. Jesse was right. Everybody who said Cleveland stinks, they were 100% right. I was dead wrong. I like Myles Garrett a lot. I actually like this team overall. I think Kevin Stefanski's a pretty decent coach. I just did not accept the fact that Deshaun Watson is never going to amount. Deshaun's just never going to be that guy again.
You'd feel better about the Browns if they had like $230 million to spend.
It's well done.
Elsewhere on their roster.
That'd be good. That'd be good. By the way, thanks to Sean for screwing it up for everybody. No team ever will take a chance on a guaranteed contract like that again. He is going to be the one and only. He might have been the one and only anyways. But what an epic fall on their face.